From Central America, we move north to Mexico, but this next story is not about immigration. It's about coming to terms with tragedy. Author Francisco Goldman divides his time between New York and Mexico City, but he has a bittersweet relationship with El DF, the federal district, as the Mexican capital is known. It was there that Goldman spent some of the happiest days of his life with his young wife, Aura Estrada. And it was in a hospital in Mexico City that doctors were unable to revive Estrada in 2007 after a freak accident she experienced while body surfing at a beach. She was 30 years old. Goldman's efforts to come to grips with that tragedy are central to his new book, The Interior Circuit, a Mexico City Chronicle. He says being able to take the next step in getting on with his life required a fundamental reassessment of his allegiance to the city he calls home.
One obvious solution: flee Mexico City. Too many memories. That's where we met. That's where she died. That's often where we were so happy. But instead, I also realized maybe another solution lay in going further into the city, embracing it, really accepting it as my home, not just as the place where Aura died, but also the place where I found a community made up of our friends in common, even some family members, people that really meant so much to me in those years. And I thought, you know, somehow making a new life in this city, really accepting what this city has meant to me, that could be the thing that's really the nourishing and richest way to go forward.
But what's interesting is you sort of grab the city by the shirt collar and you take on kind of dangerous aspects of the city, whether it's learning how to drive in a really chaotic urban center or trying to follow cases of it's kind of awful deaths of people who may or may not be associated with narco traffickers. So it seems like you're also kind of living on the edge.
Mexico City is an unbelievable party city. No, people say New York is the city that never sleeps. Mexico City is the city that never sleeps. I throw myself with a kind of crazy energy into that particular summer. And there is some violence. And I finally, though, kind of emerge and fall in love again and everything else. And I celebrate a lot in that part of the book the kind of joy and craziness of that city. But the thing that you have to understand, and that the city, and that's a really important aspect of the book, is Mexico City has been a remarkably, relatively safe city, secure city, a progressively governed city. The thing you always hear people saying in Mexico City kind of ruefully is, or really with relief, we live in a bubble. It's crazy to think of Mexico City as a bubble, but that's how people have experienced it, because the incredible tragedy, of course, that's befalling Mexico at this moment and has for several years now, is, of course, the narco war, right? The complete control over large swaths of the country. Some people say as much as two-thirds of the country has been in the grip of organized crime and caught in the middle of this war between the various cartels and the government. Mexico City seemed immune from that. Things in the summer of 2013, there was an election, began to see a change. Really, for the first time in my experience of living there, that kind of cartel violence really struck at the heart of Mexico City.
You talk a lot in your book about kind of Mexico City as a bubble. And you talk about some things that surprised me of the things that had happened in the last 12 years there, you know, a skating rink with free skates, you know, public swimming pools, bike sharing programs, abortion rights, gay marriage. I think a lot of people wouldn't think of Mexico City in that way. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, that's really the wonderful thing. It's that Mexico City never used to be able to appoint its own mayor. You know, the PRI used to always appoint it. And then in 1997, they had for the first time their own elections. And since then, the city has been governed mainly by the left and by a series of super energetic, really strong mayors.
And you kind of take part in a lot of kind of liberal, fun aspects of Mexico City, but you also venture into parts of the city that where people are really suffering and significantly where people are dealing with death and dealing with grief. And it seems like you can identify with those people still kind of recovering from your own horrible tragedy with the loss of your wife. Did you gravitate toward that in part because of your own experience?
Yeah, I think of this book, Karen and Ari, it's a bit of a spiritual journey. Aura's death had been super traumatic for me. And I realized that Mexico, the country full of tens of thousands of people who've lost their loved ones in violent, sudden ways. I said, this country is like a big lunatic asylum of people going around with untreated trauma, really. And then when it hit in the city, I felt I felt really compelled to get close to it in a really strange way, kind of out of a wish to be of help, you know, but also to sort of close a kind of circle and say, you know, part of being a citizen of this country, though not a citizen of living here, in a responsible way is not to avert your eyes from what's going on. And I just felt really compelled to be close to that aspect of life there.
What was it about that kidnapping at a club? The club was called After Heavens. And you talk a lot about it in your book, and you really tried to follow the story of what happened to these, you know, 11 or 12 young people who were kidnapped. And what got you so obsessed with that story?
The fact that for the first time, narco violence of that kind, a narco kidnapping, right at 11 o'clock in the morning as these kids are coming out of an after-hours club, on a Sunday morning in the middle of one of the most prosperous parts of the city, that's the kind of crime that isn't supposed to happen in Mexico City. That happens in the sort of narco-controlled zones. You can only have that kind of crime with police collaboration. Where you have police collaboration with the cartels, there's always political collaboration. So it was a clear signal that something was changing in the city. And I was kind of determined to try to find out, you know, as much as I could. It was a sort of way of like trying to really understand what was happening. If before, when Mexico City seemed like a bubble, all that traumatic narco violence seemed to be happening out there. Now, for the first time, it was happening in my city. And I felt a compulsion, really, almost a kind of incredible gravitational pull to sort of get as close to it and to the families who'd had their young people kidnapped. I felt I really wanted to try to tell their story.
In the book, you talk a lot about Mexicans' relationship to death. You note how the writer Octavio Paz says Mexicans have a love affair with death. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, sort of nonsense. I kind of was curious about where these kind of stereotypes of Mexico, as Octavio Paz, you know, said, Mexicans' true love affair is with death. They flirt with death. They play with death. And as my friend, the great narco journalist, Diego Sorno, said, well, if that were true, you know, there's so much death in this country, the whole country should be in ecstasy by now. But Mexicans respond, you know, to death with fear and grief. And I don't see any of that playful joy and flirtatiousness with death in the reign of narco-terror in which so much of the country is submerged right now. But on the other hand, I was certainly aware of how different it was to be a griever in Mexico City than in New York, for example.
What were the differences in how people reacted to you or how you were able to be around people?
It just seemed in New York, people didn't really quite know what to do with me. New York social life is much more formal. You know, it's like evolves around, a lot around dinner parties, and you can't ever really go anywhere without making a reservation. And, you know, people are like, do we want this sad, grieving widower at our dinner party? And there was a kind of just often a stiffness. And whereas Mexico, I don't know, there's something about cantina culture. I even say in the book, maybe it's just as simple as Mexico has cantinas and New York City doesn't. You know, you can walk into your neighborhood cantina and you'll always find someone to hang out with. But there was just in general, nobody ever felt discomforted by me. Nobody ever felt they had to repeat slogans around me like, don't you think it's time to move on or that any of that kind of thing. It was just the word I use is a Mexican ligereza, an easygoingness that was, you know, very comforting to me. And I just also have to say that I was just extremely lucky in the friendships I had there. It was just a real, incredibly warm, wonderful bunch of people that were always there for me. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, in a way, kind of to thank them, you know.
Francisco Goldman's new book is called The Interior Circuit, A Mexico City Chronicle. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. A real pleasure.